Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues. As the unnamed man, I don't know who that man is that introduces our program, just said, I am Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, and I am joined by really a stellar cast. I'm just going to tell you. Fred Jackson, first off.
Fred. I'm here.
Yeah. You're here. Part of our stellar cast. And then Chris Woodward.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it. Your check is in the mail. Chad will validate your parking.
you have a bunch of those kind of quick quips. And then speaking of a quote-worthy individual, Dr. Ray Pritchard, good morning to you, Ray.
You know, Ed, I'm not sure how stellar anybody feels on the morning after a long holiday weekend, but yes. Here we are.
Yes. In fact, our producer, Brent Creeley, was talking about the fact that, he kind of got confused thinking it was Monday. Ray, you're not even on the sheet of hosts. I had to remind him that it's Tuesday
Tuesday.
Dr. Ray Pritchard is on, and he said, please don't tell Ray. So,
okay, so I will. I didn't hear a word you just said.
You didn't hear a word. Not only did I tell you, Ray, I told the hundreds of millions of people who are listening to this program.
My name is not on the list yet. Here I am.
Yes, that's right. So it is Tuesday, May 28th. Gentlemen, we're about out of May. Yeah. We've just about run out of May. This 2024, as we hurtle towards the November elections, among other things, this year is just blowing by. I'm holding on by my fingertips.
Christmas is only 211 days away.
200. So, folks, that's how many days you have left to do your shopping.
Yes.
So
it's a man. By the way, speaking of Christmas and shopping,
yeah.
I visited Hobby Lobby the other day.
No way.
Well, my wife took me in.
there you go.
And there was an aisle already started for fall.
Yeah.
And on the back wall, high on the shelves, Christmas decorations.
In May.
That's for the Christmas and July types.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
So if you want to move forward with seasons, go to Hobby Lobby.
Well, that's way too early for me. So, they already have a shelf up. Well,
Yep. Listen,
that's the nature of capitalism.
Yes,
you got to keep those products moving.
Keep a season in front of you. It's Mother's Day, and then it's Father's Day, and then it's July 4th, and then it's back to school.
Yes,
there's always a campaign.
Yes, there's always something going on. So anyway, folks, hope that you all had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. I always hesitate to say that. Hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend. It is a long weekend. People do enjoy that with spending time with family or getting out in the yard, grilling out. But of course, the reason for the extended weekend is to remember those who have served our country and who have died doing it.
Yes.
Fred, does Canada have something similar to Memorial Day or?
Yeah, it's called Remembrance Day. It's November the 11th.
Okay. We call it now Veterans Day.
Yes. Here. Yes. So they do have that, and it's a precious time. So of course, a lot of World War II people have passed away.
Right.
By the way, I just want to promote Steve Jordahl has an excellent piece on D-Day that's coming up next
week. Oh, wow. Yeah, yes. June 6th.
I just listened to it. It's a 4-minute piece. I hope we get a chance to play it here at TI. but it is excellent, reminiscing about what happened on the beaches of Normandy. I just, you know, we've seen the movies.
Right.
And who was it talking about this? Saving Private Ryan. Yes. It's a difficult movie to watch.
Right.
All right. But it does capture what happened in that period.
Yeah.
And the brave men and women. Because I want to include the women, too, because very often the women stayed at home, but their hearts went with them.
Right.
With their husbands, with their sons. And so I hope we never forget that. And there's always that danger because, and we've talked about this before, a lot of our education system neglects this.
Right.
Neglects to remember. Neglects to remember the fact that our freedoms that we enjoy today have come at a price.
Yes.
And if we forget that, we start taking freedom for granted. And that's very dangerous. Because you run the danger of then losing that freedom.
Yeah, Ray, it is, in fact, as Fred is saying, it is a danger for folks, and it is always a danger, not just for our country, but for any republic or democracy. And by that I mean a government where the people rule themselves and have tremendous freedom. It is the always that lethal threat that they will forget the price that was paid to make them free. And when you lose that freedom, at least politically speaking, it's very, very difficult to get it back. And so when you have schools who don't teach civics, who don't teach our young people how the government works, how it functions, how many branches we have, what the Constitution means, the importance of being a good citizen, you really do run. It's a very real risk of losing that liberty, isn't it?
There's a biblical aspect to all this, isn't there? I've been reading with my wife through the Old Testament in recent days. We're deep in the book of Jeremiah right now. And you know, guys, one of the big words in the Old Testament is that word remember.
Mm-hmm.
Remember who God is. Remember what your God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what you were in Egypt. You were slaves in Egypt before Almighty God came and moved heaven and earth and parted the waters, and you came across on dry land. What is true spiritually is true for every nation. When you forget the price that was paid, the sacrifice that was made, you begin to take freedom for granted. And I guarantee you, freedom is not a birthright.
Yes,
it is not a birthright. If we do not fight for it, if we do not remember the cost, once we forget the cost of freedom, we are one step away from losing it altogether.
And that's what our founding fathers warned the American people about. As Ben Franklin famously said when asked what form of government they had given us in Independence Hall, I think it was when they're coming out of Independence Hall, and he said, a republic, madam, if you can keep it.
Yes.
And they understood, these founders were steeped not only in political theory, they were steeped in history.
Yes.
And they formed a government, a type of government that they thought best protected the people against what had happened historically to other republics. And that's why the implied warning, a republic, madam, if you can keep it.
Uh-huh.
And the jury is still out, so to speak, as to whether or not we will be able to keep this one.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's move to the news of the day. Chris, a pretty tough weekend in terms of weather.
Right. Yeah. Destructive storms caused fatalities in states such as Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Kentucky. At least 22 people were dead, more than 100 injured. Across many of those states that I just mentioned. And I've seen varying death tolls. The Associated Press says at least 22, but I've seen 23 in some other headlines. Bottom line, many people died. Many people were injured. A lot of people suffered losses and damage to their homes and property. So we do need to be in prayer for our fellow Americans out there. For people in places like Oklahoma, this is the umpteenth storm they've had in just the last couple of weeks. Many of our listeners in Texas this morning had a scare because Fox had one of those color-coded maps where you're okay if you're in the green, but if you're in the red or deep red, you're probably having problems. Dallas all the way down to San Antonio this morning, which is a huge chunk of land. Huge doesn't even, it's an understatement. But Dallas down to San Antonio this morning was in deep red. Many storms there. Power was a problem. Some people had trees down and electricity issues, and they're still dealing with that as we're speaking this morning.
Yeah. Well, Fred, this is that time of year for a lot of people, but especially through that area, they sometimes call it Tornado Alley. That just seems to be that wide strip where storms come this time of year, oftentimes with tornadoes, and this was a particularly devastating weekend.
Yeah, we're in that transition. Officially, you know, the official start of summer is not until June 21st, 22nd. But so we're still about 3 weeks away from that. But it is that transition of that cooler air in some places, the warm air coming out of the Gulf. Things literally start spinning.
Yep.
And you get this, you know, high pressure systems, low pressure systems, high winds. And one of our staff members is in Eastern Texas, and Tyler, just talking to him a few moments ago, Tyler, Texas. We have listeners in that area, and they're having a bad time. In fact, Robert was telling us a tree is down across his driveway.
Yeah.
His wife had trouble getting out of their house this morning, and he said the tree trunk was like 2 feet across. So this is, and the pictures, if you go to our website, the pictures that you're seeing is just one tornado after another. I think what last week was Iowa. Was
the, Greenfield.
That small community, 2,000 people, I think, live there. But it looks like it had been destroyed by a bomb.
Yeah.
So there's so much to pray for, folks, as we get through this transition period.
Ray, there's nothing quite like the power of nature when it is unleashed. It's really extraordinary to watch some of these videos. I watched the video last week of the Iowa tornado that touched down. It just plowed over. They had these huge windmills up. I mean, these things are metal. They're, you know, probably in concrete or whatever. And the tornado just, it looked like it was being turned into confetti.
You know, I saw one of those videos of a tornado that had gone through, a KOA campsite. Somewhere in Oklahoma. There's no defense. If you're out camping,
Oh, wow.
That's a tough place to be. And and the thing is, we were under the tornado watch here in Kansas City, kind of on the northern edge of all of that. But down there in Oklahoma, it was all red for a while over the weekend. And on this weather bug app that I've got, it gives you the arrows of where these are, and the arrows are pointing in all directions at once. Meaning if you're in that area, where would you go? What would you do? So the force of nature is awesome. And on a purely personal and much less dramatic note, we had the storm, same storm that was in Oklahoma, passed through Kansas City, and I awoke on Sunday morning to see that this persimmon tree next to our house, half of it had blown down from my yard into the neighbor's yard, leaving. That's what I've been doing the last 48 hours. I've been cleaning up the mess from the persimmon tree. And right now, as I'm talking, I'm down in the basement, but up on top, there are guys on our roof with power saws hacking down the rest of that persimmon tree so it doesn't fall down on my neighbor's house or on our house. Such is life here at the top end of Tornado Alley.
Well, because you had to leave our story meeting this morning. Right. You said, the workers, you texted, I got to go, the workers are here.
That's right.
And I thought, well,
those are the guys with the power saw.
I hate having to have the plumbers come or whatever, the electricians.
Right, right.
That's what I didn't even know. They're trying to preserve your house and the house next door because of the storm.
All right. Well, so and that's happening in much greater effect up and down from North Texas, Oklahoma, badly hit. But here in Kansas, out around Wichita, Topeka, the tornadoes touched down, and then east of here. So doesn't it seem like it's been an active weather season here in the mid part of the country.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Well, I think we can all blame cows and our gas-powered vehicles for that. This is proof that never mind. All right, Chris. Hey, now we have another tragedy.
We do.
This was tragic that we found out about this past Friday. What happened?
Yeah, a young missionary couple serving in Haiti was attacked and murdered Thursday night by gangs in the capital of Port-au-Prince. That's according to their mission agency and numerous social media posts. Also killed was the agency's Haitian director. The couple was 23-year-old Davy and 21-year-old Natalie Lloyd. They, again, were murdered there in Haiti. Natalie is the daughter of Missouri State Representative Ben Baker, who was a guest this morning on Jenna Ellis in the Morning on AFR Talk. I've got a bit of the audio, and I can go over some of the other things that he mentioned as well. Clip one.
This has been the hardest thing we've ever faced in our life, but you're right in the fact that we want to tell the story of Davy and Natalie because it brings glory to God, and it's just a perfect example of a selfless life that's so rare, especially among young people in our day and time. And I think their example of that kind of love and devotion to people that even where obviously some of them returned that with evil, is an example of that kind of life is what will change the world.
Now, he went on to say many other things here, and if I understood him correctly, Davy had actually grown up pretty much in Haiti and at one point had been kidnapped as a child. And Ben Baker was among the people that had heard about it at that time and was in prayer for Davy and his family and the other people that were in being held captive at that time.
Fred, this when we heard about this, it got sent around AFA staff over the weekend. I got a couple different emails and texts about this. The kind of dedication that we saw from this young couple, I didn't know them personally, and I got to say, I doubt very much I could speak in as composed a manner as this man just did after having lost a daughter. But a lot of times young people get a bad rap. That's, I think, unfortunate because there are a lot of young people who, like this couple, love God. They want to serve God, and they go to dangerous places.
Yes.
Serving in Haiti. This is the kind of dedication that built Christianity.
Yeah.
Because we know Jesus builds the church, but there has to be people who will risk it all to get the gospel to people. And that's what this young couple did.
Yeah, these are people who are called of the Lord and who obey that calling, despite that they know it is a dangerous area. I mean, I think of areas like North Korea.
Right.
Imagine being called to an area in North Korea. Haiti has such a reputation of being a violent place. There was just an overthrow of the government that's right. gone on in recent weeks there. Back several years ago, we were doing a story. I think it was a Christian organization based here in the United States that had an orphanage there. And there were people abducted. This is the way it operates. So these young people, they know the dangers of this. But they are called of the Lord to go, and they go, knowing the danger that is there. You know, they're very special people. They are obeying a call. They're not going because they're promised big salaries.
Right.
And it's not, they're not going, unless this had happened, we wouldn't know this couple because they're not right. after stardom.
Right.
They are there to share the gospel. They see the darkness. They live in the darkness. We just talk about it many
right,
times.
Right.
They live in that darkness, but they understand what these people need is Jesus.
Right.
And they understand their calling is to present the gospel regardless of the level of danger there. So,
yeah, they weren't going there to live their best life now.
No, no. And so our hearts go out to their families like Mr. Baker and other family members who have now lost this. But you know what? It is, as the legislative member, Mr. Baker, mentioned in the interview with Jenna this morning, it is an opportunity to talk about this and to share the gospel.
Right.
And that's what I love about people like Mr. Baker and people like Franklin Graham and others. They never miss an opportunity
right.
to share the gospel, because that's what it's about.
Right.
This gospel is going to change lives.
Yeah.
There'll be a new government in Haiti, and my prediction is it'll become corrupt.
Yeah.
And there'll be but what will change lives there is the gospel, is Jesus Christ getting into the hearts of individuals. So let's continue to pray for these families and pray for the people of Haiti.
You know, Ray, it's pretty extraordinary that this island, I'm looking at a map here. You have Cuba, of course, 90 miles away at its closest point from Florida. And then you have Haiti and the Dominican Republic on the same island, then Puerto Rico. Okay, so this is, people have heard these islands, British Virgin Islands, Antigua, Barbados, some of these others. So this single island with Haiti and the Dominican Republic sharing it, there's a line down, not quite the middle, about two-thirds of it, is the Dominican Republic. You have a sound functioning government with order, law and order. You have, I don't know what the wealth status is of the Dominican Republic, but you have a functioning economy. And then across this invisible border, you have Haiti. And in terms of the culture there, it's steeped in superstition and voodoo and other pagan forms of religion. I don't want to overstate this, Ray, but maybe you can shed some light on this biblically. But there really is something to, you want law and order. You know, Genesis 1 starts, you know, that, you know, God said, let there be light. There was darkness, there was disorder, there was chaos. God said, let there be light. You really do need to have the one true God as the foundation of your life if you expect there to be any kind of order. And Haiti just seems to be filled with the demonic. And then we see this kind of violence.
And I've been to Haiti 5 times, preached there, done evangelism there. It's a beautiful land. That whole island, Hispaniola, they call it, eastern half is the Dominican Republic, relatively peaceful and prosperous. The western half is Haiti. That's where I've been the 5 times. A beautiful land. Some of the sweetest Christians I've ever met live in that, in the land of Haiti. And they are doing, they're doing great job hanging on to their faith there. But what has happened in Port-au-Prince is there is no government. If you said, who is leading Haiti now? It's in the hands of these murderous gangs. There was no defense for Davy and Natalie. Once the gangs came in, found them, cornered them, killed them, there was no, we think of, we'll call 911. There's nothing right. like that in Haiti. This is what happens, I think, when a nation has not turned as a nation to the Lord. This is what happens. It is in the almost 40 years that I've been going there, endless chaos. It is worse today than any time in the last 40 years for this family, for the Lloyd family, the Baker family. Unbelievable sadness. And the courage that it took for him to go on with Jenna today, Natalie's dad, and give such a strong testimony. There will be good fruit from this terrible right. tragedy. We haven't seen it yet, but we ought to pray. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Haiti now, because they are in a most difficult situation.
Amen. And folks, do, as you've heard on this show, pray for these families. And what Ray said, pray for the Christians in Haiti, and pray for a move of God, because that is, there is deep darkness there. And you see that reflected in the political and cultural chaos. You see the debauchery and depravity of humanity unrestricted by any kind of government. So please pray for that nation. Folks, when we come back, more of what's happening both here and abroad. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake, we are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills, where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. Dr. Ray Pritchard is out in Kansas City, Kansas. Folks, if you want to watch the live video stream of this program, you can do that. There are several ways for that to happen. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube, search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own streaming platform, stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. You can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio to watch the live video stream of this program. If you go to afr.net, you can find podcasts for all your favorite programs. If you've missed the show that you love and can't do without, you can go to the drop-down menu for podcasts, and you can find it. And, I don't know, they may have 2 years' worth of podcasts there, so plenty of opportunities to get and stay connected to American Family Radio. All right, Chris, what's your next story?
Well, this is the time of year when we start to see and hear news stories about big retailers, big-name retailers, selling so-called Pride merchandise ahead of Pride Month, that being June. And Target takes up a lot of those conversations, or has, in the last couple of years. But Walmart is one of those big-name retailers that since kind of joined the club, and they are now promoting so-called Pride merchandise as Target is kind of scaling back some of its items in various stores here. To give you an idea of how proud Walmart is of getting involved in this effort, I've got some audio here of Walmart promoting its so-called gay Pride merchandise. Some of these people are designers, others are LGBTQ activists, and again, they're all proud and praising Walmart for getting involved here with Pride merchandise. Clip 4.
Pride always, I feel like, is not just a slogan. It's that sense of community at the end of the day.
I'm really, really grateful to Walmart for giving me this opportunity to spread a little bit of happiness. The fanny pack that says I heart gay people.
The pink apron. I'm very excited to use it with my kids in my kitchen.
I think it's all really exciting to be a part of.
Now, we do have some reaction here. This is Fox's Cheryl Cassoni saying Walmart is following in the footsteps of Target and other stores. Clip 5.
Now, Target is only selling Pride merchandise in select stores this year after some of the items they displayed last year led to backlash. Walmart's got aprons, pool floaties, fanny packs, as you just saw. So we'll see if Walmart has success. Again, it was the Target, you know, product mix last year that seemed to cause the issue.
Well, Fred, there was a lot of backlash to Target last year. This year, they have made an official announcement, which is unusual for a big company, especially one that's has headquarters, I think, in Minneapolis, a very liberal city. And Target said they were going to pull back the Pride merchandise. I think in the stores that got the most pushback, I'm guessing in the Midwest, probably Texas, the South, the broader South. And so that led to Target's decision. Mm-hmm. Now with Walmart, which Walmart is no longer the Walmart of Sam Walton,
that's for
the
sure.
founder. Now Walmart seems to have been completely captured by the LGBTQ juggernaut. I'm sure with we know for a fact. And here, let me just explain a little bit of history here. We gave Walmart a fairly wide berth. I'm talking about American Family Association, because we had connections inside of Walmart that were doing their best to resist this movement inside the headquarters of Walmart. Well, I think it's safe to assume that those people have been overwhelmed by the people that have been brought in to Walmart. So, Fred, we don't carry on multiple boycotts here at simultaneously at AFA. We have an ongoing boycott with Target. But I would encourage people, if you see this Pride merchandise during, and we use air quotes here, during Pride Month at Walmart, speak up. Mm-hmm. Say something. You know, write to Walmart, say something to the manager, be respectful. Don't be hateful. If you're a Christian, it's an oxymoron to be a hateful Christian. Be firm, have your say. The bathroom policy at Walmart really differs, doesn't differ at all from Target's bathroom policy. Anybody can go in any bathroom they want. All right. The reason we targeted Target is because they bragged about it.
Yeah.
That's what started the boycott. Fred, this is a time for Christians to speak up, or you just won't have a safe place to go.
Absolutely. And to our listeners, you may have just heard this ad about products being featured at Walmart in the next month, June being so-called Gay Pride Month. But you may go into Walmart and you don't see this stuff. So don't say to us, hey, you're not telling the truth.
Right.
I think for the most part, this is stuff going to be sold online.
Okay.
And the ad, for the most part, I think is online. So Walmart.
So they're not going to be displays in Walmart?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I would say in most of those stores, I'm looking at the center part of the country in particular.
Right. Okay.
You're not likely to see these articles. But Walmart wants to be involved, as that Fox reporter was saying. Walmart wants a presence there during, so they can say to this tiny group of individuals,
right?
You know, because for the most part, we talked about this before, those in the homosexual community don't tend to be your typical Walmart customer. I think it's safe to say they tend to go towards the Gucci side of things.
Right.
They have a lot of money to spend. But they want to be involved. And we've talked about, you know, there's influence in Bentonville, Arkansas, mm-hmm. the headquarters of Walmart. And it's changed.
Yep.
And those products are being available. So as you say, Ed, if you do happen to go into a store and see this, speak respectfully to the manager that you disagree with that.
Right.
But you need to be aware that it's a possibility.
And that is, thank you for that. That is an important distinction. That it is online rather than in the stores and big displays like Target had. Mm. But folks, keep your eyes out. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you see pictures of major displays, especially in the Heartland, in Walmart, take a picture with your phone and send it to us so we can keep an eye on what's happening.
Right. To Fred's point a moment ago about how this stuff is not going to be available in all stores. Last year, an Arizona newspaper was among the first news outlets, if not the first news outlet, to report that two guys that are claimed to be a couple and design things, they had signed a deal with Walmart to sell stuff in various stores, some of it in store, some of it online. And we've reported that extensively. I just shared a link for it. That same newspaper went on to do a publication where they provided visitors a map of where you can find this stuff in stores, and it was not in all stores. So okay. You might not see it in some stores. You might see it in certain places, parts of the country.
Ray, it is important, I think, increasingly for Christians to take a stand when a company, these big companies. Now, look, folks, corporations provide a great deal for the country. I mean, they produce products that are, generally speaking, cheaper, a greater variety, all those kinds of things. I don't mean to just knock corporations. I am not a socialist, okay? Capitalism is by far the best economic engine for meeting the daily needs of a great number of people, a greater number of people than anybody else. But at the same time, capitalism cannot be divorced from a Christian worldview and not sicken the nation. So, Ray, it is important for Christians to, I think, to take note of what corporations are doing because they are very powerful.
Well, let's remember that we may not individually, and I throw myself in the same group, we may not be able to do anything to influence the boardroom directly at some huge corporation. But Walmart is a series of, it's hundreds, thousands of local stores, right?
Right.
Somebody you know is a greeter at your local Walmart. People you go to church with also shop in that Walmart. People who are your neighbors, maybe the kids go to the same school that your kids go to, right? Mm-hmm. Don't assume that the people in the local Walmart who work there agree with everything that's coming out of corporate headquarters.
Right.
So this is the argument in favor of going, as has already been said, go kindly, go respectfully, go firmly, and go with a smile on your face, not with an angry scowl, because there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of the workers in your local Walmart do not agree with this policy. So go ahead and speak up for the good of your own community.
Good. Well said. All right. What else we got, Chris?
In other news, jurors in Donald Trump's so-called hush money trial in New York, they've returned from a long holiday weekend for closing arguments, which are expected to take all of today. Once arguments conclude, the judge will instruct the jury regarding the charges they must consider against Donald Trump and the laws governing their deliberations. So this could wrap up in the next week-ish, but it's been a pretty big delay here between when they were sent home and closing arguments. Nonetheless, the reason I bring this up beyond what I just mentioned here, Oscar-winning actor Robert De Niro comes out and does a press conference today. Some people were not happy that he was there. And our Steve Jordahl cut the audio for us to give you guys an idea of what went down earlier this morning in the Big Apple. Clip 11.
If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave. On January 6th, while Republican lawmakers despicably tried to keep the loser Trump, in the White House, and Trump-inspired insurrectionists stormed the Capitol, brave men and women from law enforcement put their lives on the line to defend this country, our democracy. They are the true heroes. These guys are the true heroes.
They lied under oath.
They lied under oath. Right. Who lied under oath? What are you telling me?
Those two traitors behind you.
Excuse me?
Those two traitors behind you.
They lied under oath?
That's right.
What are you saying?
They're traitors.
That again was courtesy of Steve Jordahl.
It was the most bizarre thing. Now, we want to mention out, this was a news conference where Robert De Niro was organized by the Biden-Harris reelection campaign. All right. They have now decided, they know that Donald Trump going into the courtroom each day and coming out has a news conference.
Right.
And he just displays his anger.
Donald Trump does his thing.
Well, the Biden-Harris campaign has decided, hey, we want to get in on the publicity here.
Yeah.
They couldn't have picked a worse spokesperson, though, to do this, because De Niro is there. He's standing there. And you heard him say, if Donald Trump gets reelected, he's never leaving. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to take over the White House.
Yeah.
All right, so people are beginning to scratch their head. Across the street, you're hearing people shouting and hollering. Somebody initiates the blowing horn.
Right.
And then somebody walks up in the middle of this live news conference and starts questioning the guys that are standing behind De Niro, saying that they lied under oath, etc. The truck totally went off the road. It really did. So you've got De Niro, this Italian guy, you know, who knows how to play that very well.
Oh, yeah.
You talking to me? You honking at me?
So it turned into a raging circus is what happened. But there's a police and political today. We don't have time to get into it. But they say the Biden campaign is really, or the people who support Democrats are really getting concerned about the Biden campaign reelection hopes. They are getting very desperate. Things are not going well, so they're now trying to do something. By the way, they're apparently making plans, the Biden administration, as to how they're going to react to the verdict when it comes out, what they want to say.
Right.
So I think one of the lines is going to be, we now have a convicted ex-president, a felon,
right,
that's running for president. So just be prepared
for
that.
That's
what
this is all about. All of this is what you just said is what this has all been about, I think.
Yes.
All along. Ray, first of all, Robert De Niro, whatever capital he had with moviegoers.
Right.
The guy's a phenomenal actor.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But his political involvement has turned off. I can barely look at him in movies anymore, because when I see the character, all I can think of is the actor who's a crazy man. All right. And plus, you're going to have Robert De Niro, who's already going to draw attention to people walking by and driving by this is New York City. New York City is like Philadelphia, where they boo Santa Claus. Okay. I mean, this is a rough city, like Chicago. It's a rough city. If you're going to be out on a sidewalk or in a public place in New York City with Robert De Niro, you're just asking for trouble in that city.
You know, it was like a train wreck in slow motion.
Yeah.
That horn honking in the back. And then, what are you telling me?
Yeah.
What are you telling me?
What are you saying?
What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you telling me?
You talking to me?
That's right. You talking to me?
That was truly a train wreck and a disaster. It was better when Hollywood actors and actresses did their thing, made their money, entertained us, and we had no idea of their politics. He has lost a great deal of his support base,
right,
coming out and not just taking a stand, but being so vitriolic about,
yes,
what, and saying crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's
like
crazy.
Trump gets in, he's never going to get out and leave and all that stuff.
Listen, I think we would all agree Robert De Niro has every right as an American, as an actor, to get involved in politics. But it doesn't mean, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. And if, you know, he thinks, I've made my millions, what do I care? But I don't know, Chris, what are you saying?
Well, you know, a moment ago, I don't know if it was by coincidence or an actual pun intended kind of thing, but you said raging circus. And I thought, if that's not the headline of the New York Post tomorrow, they need
raging circus.
Yes,
right.
It should be.
One of the Fox commentators said, there's De Niro throwing spaghetti on the wall to see what sticks.
Got that right.
Yeah.
Not much.
No, not much. All right.
All right. Speaking of head-scratching Democratic Party efforts here, I've got some audio from Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because the man formerly known as Mayor Pete was brought on CBS Face the Nation to discuss a number of things. One of those being the massive amount of money that was approved a couple of years ago, back in 2021, in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, to create and build more charging stations for electric vehicles. One of the frequent knocks about EVs is because there's a lack of charging infrastructure throughout the country, which would prevent somebody from, say, traveling from Mississippi to California,
right,
by electric vehicle. And so Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg was asked about that by the host of CBS's Face the Nation. And she brings up the fact that a couple of years ago, we approved a ton of money and we did the numbers, and you guys haven't done much of anything with that to install electric charging stations. Listen to his defense and pay attention to her pushback here. Clip 8.
says only 7 or 8 charging stations have been produced with a $7.5 billion investment that taxpayers made back in 2021. Why isn't that happening more quickly?
So the president's goal is to have 500,000 chargers up by the end of this decade. Now, in order to do a charger, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. There's utility work, and this is also really a new category of federal investment. But we've been working with each of the 50 states. Every one of them is getting formula dollars to do this work,
engaging them
in the first handful, again, by 2030, 500,000 chargers, and the very first handful of chargers are now already being physically built.
Even she wasn't buying it. No. And she's probably on his side.
Yeah, you know, Fred, this is government at its best. Okay? At its best. 3 years, $7 billion. Now, obviously, it's not $7 billion for just the what was the amount? Was it $7 billion?
It was in the billions.
Okay, so 7 or 8 charging stations. And we're talking about, if you want to know what these look like, folks, we're not talking charging stations like a post office, all right? In fact, I pulled into a place to have my vehicle worked on, parked next to one of these chargers. I thought it was a vacuum. Mm-hmm. You know, where you vac out your car, uh-huh. You know, toss in $5 worth of quarters or whatever it is now. So it's small. Mm-hmm. They're not huge, but Pete Buttigieg is defending the record of the Biden administration as if they're doing a good job with this. 7 or 8 charging stations in 3 years, and they have 500,000 they have to have built in the next 6 years.
Yeah,
this is not a good pace.
Yeah. Not at all. Listen, there's so much going wrong. I like to say up front, I'm not opposed to electric vehicles.
Sure, I'm the same.
If you want to buy a Tesla to tootle around town, get your tootling Tesla and go to it.
I know somebody that has one.
You know, that's fine. You know, if you're just going down to the grocery store to buy some groceries.
And they're improving that technology. I mean, that's great.
Yeah, go to it. But the problem is the American people aren't ready for this. One of the big reasons being, and I think it was the Commerce Secretary, the Transport Secretary, they tried to promote electric vehicles.
Energy Secretary.
Several months ago.
With Jennifer Granholm.
Yes.
It did not go well.
It was the greatest NPR story I've ever seen, where even NPR reported that she had the cops called on her because they were doing this big photo op where they were going to travel from North Carolina west by electric vehicle to show how great these things are. And there were concerns about a lack of charging stations. So according to even NPR, the Department of Energy dispatched some young, probably low-paid intern to go and park in front of a charging station in Tennessee and hold the spot. This is during the summer. Well, there was a family there, including a mother. She even had a small child or she was pregnant, but it was hot. They were about to run out of power. They called the cops on this guy. So the Department of Energy had the cops called on it because they were hogging a spot for her to show up and charge her vehicle.
Oh, my goodness.
It has been a disaster. The American people may someday, you know, I may buy an electric vehicle someday, but not now.
You'll have no choice if they continue.
It's so expensive. And as others have pointed out, they're going to build these, they call them charging stations. Where is the electricity going to come from? Probably from a coal-fired generator somewhere.
Well, let me just tell you here. We had my daughter, I probably shouldn't say this. Well, somebody wrecked one of our cars. Okay. I'm not going to tell you who. Okay. All right. So this was our 2014 VW. Okay, it's, you know, older model, so it's just right at the getting to that sweet spot where, you know, it's paid off. And okay, so that happens. All right, so I wanted to try to replace it, thought about getting a used Camry, because we've had Camrys in the past, Toyota Camry, very reliable vehicles. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I go to Toyota to see if they had some used Camrys. They didn't. But the guy told me you pull into a dealership and you get jumped. Okay?
That's right.
So the gentleman, very nice young man who came out, and no use, but we have brand new Camrys. I said, well, I'm not really interested in brand new Camrys. They're very expensive. But he said, These that we have here on the lot, 2024s, are, that's it. He said 2025s will all be hybrids. You will not be able to buy a gas-powered internal combustion engine Toyota. I don't know if they're all the dealerships are that way.
Mm. Many of them are moving in that direction.
Yes, all hybrids. I said, I don't want a hybrid. I don't think I will want one at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And the batteries are hugely expensive. All those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And yet, you perhaps will be getting to the place where companies that produce cars may not leave you any choice. Mm-hmm. And it's all because the government is pushing them.
Oh, absolutely.
We went back and got a very nice Volkswagen that was not a hybrid. So the government is pushing the market,
yes,
to offer what people don't want. Mm-hmm. And Ray, the government is forcing these manufacturers to produce vehicles that the government wants, but that the people don't want.
Well, I'm with Fred a little bit on this. I think I may buy an electric car someday, but not today, not tomorrow. Okay, Ed, maybe the day after tomorrow when they get the battery stuff worked out where you can go 400 or 500 miles without having to recharge, then we'll talk about it.
And not have to take out a second mortgage to get a new battery.
Thank you very much. Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, that's startling that you have the Secretary of Transportation defending the Biden administration's record. Billions of dollars, only 7 or 8 charging stations right now. Right. I didn't know that about them almost getting arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Hogging a charging station.
I posted the links on our comment section.
All right, folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, Steve Jordahl will be in the house. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.